To Life Church this morning, and the story that you're going to hear that's going to unfold over the next few minutes will touch you and move you. And as I think I put on our Instagram feed yesterday, out of hopelessness, hope comes. Out of heartbreak, God can bring hope. And if you don't believe that yet, or you're not totally convinced, then pin your ears back for the next few minutes. Give Brenda a welcome as she comes up here. Thanks, Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this, just to be clear here, this isn't your first time in Life Church, Brenda, is it?
No.
Give us a little snapshot of history, I suppose.
Well, it was about 30 years ago that I first came. Probably getting on for that. It just transformed my life, really. It's a wonderful place, and it will always have a place in my heart because I received so much and I learned so much and I grew so much and I received so much healing in this place.
Wow.
So, it's very special. And sometimes, you know, it's hard when God asks you to move on because you don't want to move on. But he insists, and then you see the purpose of why you've had to move on. But I have come back occasionally, and we often pop in and see Steve. So so there's always that connection there.
And during that time, Brenda, we're going back quite a lot of years when you were last sort of part of this church. You came here on your own.
Yes.
And your hunk of a husband there, Stuart,
yes.
Wasn't with you in those days. So no. Something has happened in that time, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's funny because sometimes I used to come with my friend Sue, and sometimes I'd say to her, I'm sitting on my own today because I'm making a statement to God because there's an empty seat here. And I do get tired of waiting for Stu to come with me. And one day God said to me, you think that you're waiting for him, but he's waiting for you. Ooh. Yeah. Mm. And he was. And I actually moved on. And now Stu comes to church with me in a Methodist church.
Wow.
And we're really happy there. So, yes, that was my statement, that I was on my own.
So God united you in faith, not just in,
yes,
in marriage. And just briefly, we're not here particularly to talk about this, but in the ensuing years, you and Stuart have travelled the length and breadth of the country, particularly involved with the Turin Shroud, and talking about that and leading people to faith as a result of that.
Yes.
Just take a minute and tell us what's that's involved.
Well, I mean, it's just the wonderful people that we meet, and we go to all sorts of churches and none. It's opened many doors. You know, I've done things that I would never, ever have dreamt was possible. You know, radio interviews, and God's helped me to grow so much. But it's the impact that the Turin Shroud has upon people. We've seen people come to this exhibition, and without anyone saying a word to them, they've received healing. They come to know Jesus, and it's just been an incredible, incredible journey.
Wow.
Yes.
And you're still on with that journey.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
We actually work for the British Shroud Society now, and we distribute the newsletters. So
wow.
I've met people that I only dreamt that I'd meet. All the world experts, you know, it's taken me into some amazing places.
Mm.
So you never know what God's got prepared for you.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So you've been married now just over 50 years.
Yes.
Gosh, lived in the same house for 49 years.
Yes.
Well done, Stuart. and what, 50 years ago when you got married, like every young couple, you know, looking to a long life together, to be hopefully parents, you know, to see a family around you grow and all that spills off beyond that. And that was your dream, hope, ambition at that time?
Yes. Yeah. All I ever wanted in my life was to be a wife and a mom. I had no other ambition than that. I'd worked as a hairdresser, but I'd had enough of that, really, you know, and God had got other plans for me. But yes, so that was, yeah, that was.
So we come to the point then when some of that, and I'm going to sort of hand the mic over to you now, when some of that sort of kicks into life and yes. You suddenly find that you're pregnant.
Yes. Well,
tell us the story.
Yeah, we were married 7 years when we had our first child. And as you can imagine, after that long wait, she was very special to us. When Zoe was 9 months old, she became ill with a form of epilepsy. And they put her on a drug and she seemed to be improving okay. When she was 15 months old, she became very ill because the drug had actually caused her liver to stop working and we thought she was going to die. She didn't improve once she got over the liver damage. So we were sent to Great Ormond Street in London and they told us that she'd got an inherited brain disease and there was a 1 in 4 chance of us having another child with the same illness. And obviously we could not, we couldn't inflict that on another child. So we made a decision not to have any more children. But at the point of Zoe's death, she died in hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning. And at the point of her death, we had the most wonderful experience of meeting Jesus. He was so real. Not that I could see him physically, but his presence just filled the room. And we knew that peace which passes all understanding. And we actually felt him take her and that we need never, ever worry about her again.
Wow.
And that was such an encounter with Jesus.
So you've got this incredible mixed emotion.
Yes.
So how old was Zoe at that point?
She was 3 when she died.
Right, yes, so you'd had 3 years of hospital and
yes.
investigation.
Yeah, and sort of, obviously it was 24/7, you know, I mean, constant. But then suddenly she's gone and suddenly my life's very empty and I just don't know what to do anymore. You know, I just don't know what to do.
And you've already been told that there's a big potential of any future
yes.
children being damaged.
Yes.
So you've already realised that this is it.
No children.
This is it.
Yeah.
Gosh. I'm sure a lot of people out there, you know, many of us sit here with healthy, growing children, the challenges of homework more than, you know, the sort of stuff that you've faced. So how do you deal with that mixed emotion? We've got this theme at the moment, kingdom and chaos.
Yes.
You know, in the chaos of our lives, the kingdom of God is trying to, you know, bear fruit. That must have been a struggle, big time.
Yes, I mean, there was a lot of chaos in our lives, you know, because I'd had this encounter with Jesus. So I grew up in the Anglican Church. And so I went back to the Anglican Church because that was what I knew. And I went there for 3 years, becoming more and more and more despondent because I knew that I couldn't live up to what a Christian should be. So there was some times of very deep depression and just not knowing what to do with the rest of my life, really. It was very difficult and that put pressures on our marriage and... But then a friend of mine that I got to know through the Anglican Church, actually, but she went to the Methodist Church, and this friend had got something that I wanted. There was something about her. She spoke about Jesus as if he was her friend. And I'm thinking, there's something here. Well, she knew that I was ready to give my life to the Lord. And she was determined she was going to take me to Billy Graham when he came to Birmingham. And I was determined I wasn't going. And I didn't go. I wasn't very well. And she said, but I'm a nurse, I'll care for you. And I went, I'm not coming. So a few months later, she gave me a tape, when it used to be tapes. I'm showing my age now, aren't I? But she gave me a tape, and I listened to Billy Graham, and he explained salvation. And I was standing in our lounge ironing, and I asked the Lord into my life, and that was just the beginning, really.
Wow. So
you know, it was through Billy Graham, really, that and that message.
Yeah.
So I went to the Methodist Church, and I loved it there. But then we went through a really difficult time where my father had cancer and died. My mum was seriously ill with kidney problems. We were caring for Stu's parents, and then Stu was very ill in the middle of it all. And, you know, there were days where I didn't know how I was going to face the day, which was really, really tough. And at the end of it, I went to the doctor suffering with my stomach, and she said, "I really don't think there's anything physically wrong with you." She said, "I think it's all the trauma that you've been through over the years." She said, "I'm going to send you to talk it through with a psychiatric nurse." Well, me being old-fashioned, thought that it would be a woman. So when I get to the doctors and it's this young man, it was a bit of a shock. And this young man just happened to worship at Emmanuel.
Wow.
And he did amazing things for me.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget him. And he... this one day, I'd got a dove on my jacket, and he said, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian, Brenda?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "So am I." He said, "Which church do you go to?" And I said, "Well, to be honest, I'm not in church because there's been so much going on in my life. I haven't had the time or the energy, you know, to actually be in church." So he got a pad out. And he wrote down the times of the services at Emmanuel, and he said, "You know, this is my church. Would you like to come?" And I don't know how I knew, but I said, "It's not one of those lively churches, is it, Sean?" And he went, "Yeah, it is actually, Brenda." And I said, "No, that's not me. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly. You know, I'm a good
God
Anglican."
Forbid, I should
go there. So anyway, but it wouldn't leave me, so... One Sunday evening I came, and the warmth of the welcome, and I went out feeling as though I'd been to a party.
Wow.
That was just how I felt. And people were so loving and so kind, and there was so much, just so much healing that occurred. But the song that we sung about fear, I came to church one Sunday, and we used to have a printed notice, and there was always, you know, prayer requests on the back. And Sean had asked for prayer for me, and he said, "Please pray for Brenda to be released from her fears." And you know, I had been crippled, and I mean crippled, by fear from when I was a child. And it was as I came here and people prayed for me, for the first time in my life I was free of fear. Which
wow.
which was just incredible.
Wow. So can I just ask, just sort of cutting in on the story? We encourage people to in difficult times to sort of draw on the presence of God and feed yourself with all that sort of stuff. How, when you're going through the trauma of my baby's died and there's no more kids on the horizon because they've told us. Sort of, you know, you've had help from people, you've come to church, you know, are there other things on a day-to-day, you know, 24/7, when you're not in church, you know, on the couple of hours on a Sunday, or you're not by your doctor or whoever you deal with, you know, those times on your own when you're tormented with what could be, what hasn't been.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that, Brenda?
I mean, that went on a long time, and that there were times where I'd feel very close to God. You know, I mean, when I was here, he'd opened doors, and I'd had this exciting 10 years, and then suddenly you're back in it, and you're thinking, where are you in all this, God? Where are you? It's all right. I can look back now and see where he was, but you know, when you're in it, it doesn't give you the easy route. You have to feel the pain. But do you know what? The people that come into my life that I can come alongside, and they know that I know what they're going through in so many situations, and there's this unspoken understanding, and it's those darkest times that is used for me to minister to other people.
Wow.
So, but there were times where, I mean, God's got such a sense of humour, because there were times where I'd be angry with God, and really angry with him.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And I always felt he was smiling and saying, go on, get it out of your system.
Go on, yeah.
But I did have a time, particularly after I left here, that I was... that I'd just go into my prayer time and I'd say, well, I don't know why I'm here, because I don't even know if you exist. You know, that's the depth of despair that you can experience, but then he'll just lift you out of it all.
Wow.
And it's actually persevering when it's tough, and it's getting into the word, and it's prayer, you know.
So as somebody who preaches God's word often and confesses the stuff that the Bible talks about, I'll turn your mourning into dancing, you
yes.
know, all that sort of stuff. You know, I'm talking that in a theoretical sense of, this is what I believe the Bible says, this is what we need to apply. You're sat here this morning saying, actually it works.
Yes, it does work. Wow. It really does work, yeah.
So from heartbreak to hope.
Yes. And what I'd like to share as well, my sister had a little girl 9 months older than Zoe. And when Zoe died, the first time I saw her, she promised that she'd share her with me. And she did. And she still does.
Wow.
And now Nina's got two children and they share the grandchildren with me. But also, during all those years, God has given me young women that have needed a mom, for whatever reason, and they come and they go and they move on, but there's always a young woman or boy, men now, occasionally I get a son, so that's novel, but God has given me that family.
Yeah. So how old would Zoe have been today if she was still here?
She'd be 44. Yeah.
So over those 44 years, God has sustained you, strengthened you.
Yes.
Still dark moments? Still times when you think?
There can be, if I'm sort of concerned about anything, but not very often now. I'm just in a really good season, and you just enjoy that every moment of it and live every day, because it's a gift. And you know, I felt that I'd wasted so much of my life, but I look back and actually it was all preparation for what he's doing now.
Wow.
And like I say, we've been to places, done things that just incredible, really.
But
a lot of it all began here.
Wow.
And that's what I want to say. You're very blessed to be in this place, to be equipped and ready to go out and do whatever God wants you to do.
We've got a beautiful picture of Zoe.
Yeah.
There she is.
That was taken just 2 weeks before she was taken ill. And you know, whenever I look at that picture, it's like she's asking you a question. Are you going to follow the Lord? So.
You've got a poem to read.
I've got a poem. Yeah, because when my dad was dying, I actually began to write poetry, and it was like a floodgate that helped me to deal with all the pain of what I was going through. And this is a poem that I wrote for Zoe, and it's called I Praise You, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Zoe, for all she taught to me. I thank you for her life and how she helped me see that you're my loving Father who cares for me each day, the one who always listens and guides me on my way. For years I did not know you. I could not see you were there. Even when I ignored you, you kept me in your care. I thank you that you chose me to bear this precious child who is with you in heaven, pure and undefiled. And now I come to praise you for her life so short and sweet. Through her, I know and trust you. And now my life is complete. Wow. And my life is complete. And I've got a wonderful husband who has put up with a lot. And it's just wonderful to be working together. Great. I waited so long for that. Wow. So I never give up.
never give up.
Yeah.
We want to take a few moments, Brenda, to pray. We've had a bit of a theme developed through the morning, and fear was the sort of word that was brought earlier on. And we don't share this story just as a like for you to go, just to be sort of entertained. This is to prove the fact that God is true to his word, even in the darkest of moments. I can't think of anything much darker than what these lovely people have been through. And so we want to take a few moments just to pray and to invite you, whatever your fear, whatever your issue, whatever fills your mind at the moment. And you might hear this story and go, gosh, you know, I can't ever imagine facing a situation of losing a child. But, you know, some things are sort of relative, and there's stuff going through that's causing you to lose sleep, that's causing you to be concerned, that's causing you at times to even distance yourself from God because somehow the enemy wants to do that. And so for just a couple of moments, and then we're going to give opportunities as we just worship to close our service, just to allow the Holy Spirit in the genius way that he can to just minister to you. So I'm going to invite you just for the next couple of minutes, just close your eyes if you would. And as you do that, the invitation is there from Jesus right now, as it always is, to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. There's so many other verses we could trot out, but that's the invitation he brings. Whatever your concern right now, I want you to just bring it to the sort of to the top of your list there. And I'm going to invite Brenda just to pray a prayer right across this congregation. That whatever's jumped to the top of your sort of list right now, that God would minister and you'd leave this place not just encouraged, but more determined to soak yourself in the presence of God through his word, through all the ways that you can, so that he can fill some of the void that's there, so that he can give you peace in the confusion, so he can be a friend in the loneliness, so he can bring hope in the brokenheartedness. That's what he's come to do. That's what we read as his manifesto right at the start of this service. So I just invite you now, just for a moment, just to offer your whatever it is to him, whatever concerns you at this moment. And in a few seconds, I'm going to invite Brenda, if you would, Brenda, just to pray a prayer of release over each one of us in his presence.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that perfect love casts out fear. Mm. And your word is true. So we stand on that word this morning, Lord, and we ask that you would cast out any fear from each person in this place today. We ask that you'll replace it, Lord, with love and compassion. Yes. And peace. And may they go from this place feeling light and free because they've met with you. So, Father, we thank you that you are a loving Father. We thank you that we can come to you and be real and say it as it is and not put on a smiley, friendly face, and yet our hearts are breaking. So we lift every broken heart, yes, every broken life,
yes,
before you now, Jesus, and we entrust them all into your care. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you. Lord, we speak your peace over this great crowd of people. We speak your wisdom. We speak your friendship, your hope. You're our forgiver, you're our lover, you're our friend. May we not just know that as a title, but may we know that as an experience in our lives. As we worship you now, Lord, I pray that you would just release something into our hearts that would just fill us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're going to stand and sing. That's okay, Paul. And as we do, I'm going to invite Brenda and Stuart to join some of the prayer guys in the prayer space.